We've had a lot of kings come and go in the last couple of weeks. And anyway, Judah is about to receive a new king. Anyway, 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. In the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all the things as Joash his father did. Now, there's a lot more in that than what it seems like. You know, the three little verses here. First of all, in verse 1, again, we see how the Bible uses the other king to kind of show the timeline. So the king of Israel at the time is Joash, or Jehoash, depending on where you read it. And he was the son of Jehoahaz, so that you get a further indication of the timeline of Israel. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, again, could be called Jehoash because we have had two kings back then with the same name, Joash or Jehoash, depending on where you read it at. Anyway, Amaziah is the son of Joash, king of Judah, not king of Israel. So, we won't get into how he got to be king quite yet. It's coming up pretty quick, but anyway, a little bit more about him here. He said he was 25 years old when he began to reign. So he's, fairly young. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. Now, 29 years is a fairly long time for one of these kings to reign because they had the tendency to die off. The Lord either caused it to happen or in some instances they just died. But anyway, it says here that his mother's name was Jehoadan. Now, I didn't look up the meaning of her name. I don't know what the significance is of her name being here other than to say that she was his mother. She's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. But she was of Jerusalem. She came from that city, the capital, so to speak, of Judah. In verse 3, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Oh boy, Judah's going to get another good king. But you remember, Joash's father started off being a good king too. And as we'll find out, he had the same problems. Anyway, it says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. Now, we could make a whole Sunday school lesson on that. David was considered a great king, and the Bible says that he was a man after the Lord's own heart, and yet he committed adultery and murder and other things that probably are not in there. So we can't hold men up. Now, that doesn't mean we're not to pray for him or something like that. We need to be praying for our pastor every day, multiple times every day. He's got a lot on his plate. And while being pastor to a church, he's got a full-time job. And he has a wife to take care of. And I'm not sure how big of a job that is, but she seems to be pleased with him, so we'll let it go at that. But a man of God requires a lot of prayer for him. I mean, it's our responsibility to do it. And not just them, but, you know, you need to pray for your Sunday school teacher. You need to pray for your song leader. You need to pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. We had a bunch of them here last night. I had a really good service. Everybody that wasn't able to make it, you missed a really good service. Brother Matt Shep had a wonderful lesson for us. And afterwards, we had some great food and sat around and talked about everybody and had a good time. It was really a wonderful time. And anyway, he did things that was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. So there was something lacking. And it goes on to say, he did according to all things as Joash his father did. Now, you might think that was good because the phone fell. But I'll keep right on teaching, and you can get me lined back out if you want to. Anyway, remember Joash's father ended up being a bad king. He did some pretty evil things. He had a man of God stoned to death after it was he was the son of another man of God that did great favors to him. So, anyway, he did according to all things as Joash's father did. So he turned from the Lord. Now, we see this in people's lives constantly. You know, people will be, you think, you know, they're on fire for the Lord or something, and something doesn't go right, or maybe nothing happens. I don't know. And you never see them again or hear from them. So this is what Joash's falling away is. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord to start off with, but then not so much. Now we're going to leave off reading in 2 Kings. No, we're going to keep right on reading. Okay, I need to pay more attention to my notes instead of my memory. Anyway, verse 4. Howbeit the high places were not taken away. As yet the people did sacrifice and burnt incense on the high places. Now, I have recently been studying a little bit about the high places, and we might take a week off. I'm not sure yet whether I want to do that in studying the king and just have a brief study on the high places. There's some, actually, hard to believe, there's some good thing about the high places early on. Not so much by this time. Well, actually none by this time. But he had take away the high places. And these were not places where men the people served the Lord. They didn't offer sacrifices to the Lord as some thought they were. Obviously some thought they were, because in time past that had been not just the tradition, it had been the proper thing to do. But then after the tabernacle was initiated, then the high places weren't needed. There was a place there to go to be in the presence of God, so to speak. Now, those of us that are his children, we know that we're in his presence all the time. And we're looking forward to the time when we'll be in his very presence and there won't be any sin between us. We'll be there. Can you think of that? I mean, that's something we have to look forward to. But anyway, and he said, as yet the people did sacrifice and burnt incense on the high places. Now this was not pleasing to God, obviously. That's what it says in his book. You know, this is one of the bad things that he did. He didn't take away the high place. Verse 5. And it came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew his servants which had slain the king, his father. Now this is, I said we was going to get to find out how he became king. And if you would, turn to 2 Kings chapter 12 and verses 20 and 21. Now this is talking about Joash, Amaziah's father. Verse 20, and his servants arose and made a conspiracy and slew Joash in the house of Milo, which goeth down to Silla. For Josachar, the son of Shimeath, and Jehozabad, the son of Shomer, his servants, smote him, and he died. And they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. And Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. So his servant rose up. Now, there was a reason why the servants rose up. He did some pretty evil things. You remember we talked about how he, Joash was a good king and went sour. And Amaziah, his son, is basically going to do the same thing, like it says in verse 3, where it says he did according to all the things as Joash, his father, did. He starts off good and ends up being a mess, so to speak. Anyway, this is how Amaziah became king. Was his father's servants killed him. Anyway, it says, it came to pass as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, and it was, everything was settled, he was king, he was reigning, everything was going along smooth. And I'm pretty sure these servants by this time thought that we've got it made. You know, we got a good king, you know, it probably, I don't know whether he was generous to them or what, to make sure they stayed around or anything like that. And he says that he slew his servants which had slain the king, his father. So, your sins will find you out. You won't get away with anything. Now, I used to tell everybody, and I still do from time to time, you know, I never got away with anything in my entire life. It didn't matter. There's a long story that I could tell, but I don't want to use up all my Sunday school lesson time for that. But just let it be known that if I did something, I was going to get caught. It didn't matter. I never got away with anything. So, anyway, as we live our lives here on this earth, we're not going to get away with anything anyway. God is, well, I mentioned being in the presence of God. God is everywhere, and he knows. We're not going to talk about jolly red fat men or anything like that. You know, where they know what you do and things like that. God actually does know what you do. He knows what's in your heart. So even if you do something right for the wrong reason, it's still wrong. Anyway, he slew all these people that had killed his father. And in verse 6, but the children of the murderers he slew not, according unto that which is written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commands, saying, the father shall not be put to death with the children, nor the children be put to death with the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sins. And that's in Deuteronomy 24:16. We'll go read it. Jeremiah 24:16 says, the father shall not be put to death with the children, neither shall the children be put to death with the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Now you notice it doesn't say you shall not be put to death. It says you shall not be put to death for your father, if you're the son. Or if you're the son, you won't be put to death, the father, then you won't be put to death for the son. You're going to be put to death for your own sin. So the judgment is going to be there. What we have in our favor is Christ has already received our judgment. He paid for our sin debt on the cross. So we don't have to worry about this. And whatever our fathers did or whatever our children do, it's not going to come back on us. That's them. They have to answer for their own sins, and they will. Okay, now turn to 2 Chronicles. It goes into a little bit more detail on Amaziah's reign here. 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 5. If you want to read both chapters, he's done in 2 Kings. There's a little bit more there, but 2 Chronicles 25 has a good bit more. Verse 5 says, Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield. So he was getting ready to go to battle, getting ready to go to war, and he wanted to count up how many soldiers he had. So anybody above 20 years old, I'm not sure if he did everything according to Scripture. There's a place in Scripture where it says a man is just taking a wife is not to go off to war for a full year. So I don't know whether he took that into account. It doesn't say here. I'm not going to presume to say that he didn't do it right, because like I said, he started off being a good king. Anyway, he numbers the people, and there's 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield. Okay, we're going to go to war. Verse 6, he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. So he also hired a bunch of mercenaries from Israel, the kingdom of Israel, not the nation of Israel, because the nation of Israel is both combined. So that was a pretty good sum of money. And he was expecting to get some good out of them, another 100,000. So that would have given him an army of 400,000 men. So what does the Lord say about this? In verse 7, but there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, all the children of Ephraim. So, you ever plan something, you know, and then somebody says, well, you know, God's not going to be happy with that. Now, I can think of something in my mind right now. I'm not going to mention it because it's somebody else's problem. But when you plan to do something and it's contrary to God's will, it seems like there's always going to be somebody there to tell you you shouldn't do it. And if not, then you probably already know in your own mind you shouldn't do it. Now, Israel, if you look back through all the kings that they've had, it's been slim pickings for them. Now, Judah has had several good kings, at least kings that started off good. Most of them had been good, you know, with some evil thrown in, that's not going to maintain that. They're not going to maintain that. But anyway, this man of God, and it doesn't say who he was. There came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. So, I don't know, he was pretty presumptuous, don't you think? You know, going to the king, you know. But you gotta remember, we serve the King of Kings. You know, the authority given to us, in the Great Commission is, pretty good authority. It comes from the Lord. Now, Amaziah, he was king. King over Judah. Anyway, he thought he had the right to do this, and the man of God told him, you're doing wrong, don't do it. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. So, he told him, don't go with him, don't take him with you. The Lord's not with him, with this. And he goes on to explain a little bit farther in verse 8, but if thou wilt go, do it. If you will take him, go ahead. Be strong for the battle. Yeah, you know, you need to be strong. You're going to take all these extra guys with you that the Lord said not to. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. He says, if you go ahead and take them, go ahead. You know, be strong, because the Lord's going to have you fall in the battle before your enemy. Because God has power to help and to cast down. So we need to remember that too. If we're in a situation where we don't see any daylight, hey, the daylight's there. Sometimes we look for the daylight like this. You know, our eyes are shut. There's so much daylight in God's Word, especially to us, His children. All you have to do is look for it. It's there. So what does Amaziah say? Okay, absolutely. You know, if the Lord says this, instead, Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? He's worried about the money. Now, I'm trying to think of an example. We have a television at home that when we got a good deal for it. At least thought we did. And now the same television is a lot less than what we paid for it. But, I mean, we have had it for a while. We got some use out of it. We got some good out of it. Money is not the end all and be all. Yeah, you need to make a living. You need to be able to support your family. You need to have enough to, you need to be able to pay your tithe, whatever that is. And he says, what are we going to do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? Well, first of all, you don't give your enemy money. You don't give them things to use against you. So what was the answer? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. I mean, the 100 talents came from God. There's no limit to what he can give us. He has given me and Connie, I can't begin to tell you what all he's done for us. And, we're not deserving of it, but he has anyway. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about things. God's able to provide even more than you can even think to ask. So finally, Amaziah gets the picture. In verse 10, then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim to go home again. So he sent him away. He sent him back home. He said, well, you know, your services aren't needed. You know, keep the money. But just go home. Now, wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah. Now, I don't understand why they would be angry, just to be honest about it. They didn't have to go off and fight and maybe get killed, and they still got to keep the money. I don't know why they would take offense at this, but they did. And they returned home in great anger. So they went home, and they were still mad. Now, remember this, that they did go home, because we're probably not going to get to it today. There's a timeline involved here, but we'll go on and finish what I want to get through today. Verse 11, and Amaziah strengthened himself, or got ready, prepared for war, and led forth his people, and went to the valley of Saul, and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. So, that's pretty good, I guess. I don't know, they'd smote 10,000, that means they killed them. But that's not all. Verse 12, and other 10,000 left alive did the children of Israel carry away captive and brought them unto the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock that they were broken in pieces. Now, I forgot to turn my page. I'm getting lost here. Okay. Anyway, in verses 11 and 12, okay, where it says the Valley of Salt and the children of Seir, this is talking about the Edomites, and they killed 10,000, and the other 10,000, they left alive, but then they took them up to the rock, it says. Now, there's some explaining needs to be done there, and I'm going to do just a little bit. It says 10,000 men were taken captive and brought to the top of the rock, which is in another place in 2 Kings chapter 14. We're not going to turn there. It's called the rock, or rocky, not like Rocky and Bullwinkle, but it's a rocky place. And it was anyway, Selah is another name for it. It's in 2 Kings 14, verse 7. And Selah means rock or rocky. And he changed the name to Jokthiel. Now, this is also in 2 Kings. I don't know if it's, I don't remember whether it's in here or not. No. Anyway, Jokthiel. And that means obedience. And I think it was referring to probably obedience to God. He left the army of Israel at home, sent them home, but he went. Now, I'm going to go a little bit long here because I got to get through this verse in particular. Anyway, the prisoners was thrown off the rock and killed. Now, if you read a little history about this, this is how people were killed in many places. Well, I don't know how many, but some places anyway, where they were considered doing sacrilege to that place's gods. They were taken up and thrown down off a hill so that they would be torn into pieces, basically. And also they used it to punish people who had committed other terrible crimes. You know, it wasn't something that they just did to be mean or something like that. It was something to show people, you know, if you go against God in this particular instance, you know, there's going to be a price to pay. Anyway, we will, okay, we'll stop there and we'll start with verse 13, next Sunday. And, hopefully I can get a little bit farther along in it then. Anyway, y'all stay tuned because the pastor's got a great message coming up.